Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net! Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. By the way, La Pantarita Albert Elise. He is no more in Major League Soccer. He is at Boa Vista in Portugal, playing with Reggie Cannon of FC Dallas. So, Houston Dynamo player and FC Dallas player at Boa Vista in Portugal. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Excited to bring you this show. Sam Pica, tonight, behind the glass, as usual, producing. The show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLawAustin.com. So a big thank you to John and his firm. Ably supported by Loustown Vermouth. Ask for it at your local liquor store. Streaming, hornfm.com. For those on the internet highway, you can call a show tonight also at 512-447-3776. And you can hit me up at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, or on Facebook, Soccer Matters. You got to love that fade there with the music. Very nice, Sam. Also doing something on Instagram. What I'm doing, I'm not sure, but there's a bunch of things posted over on Instagram. Some interesting stuff there, Glenn Davis Sock. So tonight we go across the Atlantic to Manchester, England. We're going to speak with Janine Becky. Janine Becky grew up in the youth game, the college system at Texas Tech, played in the NWSL with Sky Blue, played with the Houston Dash, Canadian international, scored 3 goals in the Olympics when Canada won that most important bronze medal. She's now playing and plying her trade at Manchester City in the FA Women's Super League in England. Now, this is going to be an interesting interview because the NWSL now is getting direct competition from this league and its teams. You think of the players that are going over there now. Sam Mewis, Alex Morgan, the names go on and on, Kristen Press. So you realize now that the money that's being put behind these giant brands like Manchester United, Chelsea, Manchester City, Arsenal, and the FA Women's Super League, which is backed by Barclays, Arsenal, another one, they're taking this seriously. And this is going to be competition that the NWSL is going to have to stand up to. And they're going to have a vision and a plan to do that. And I think it could end up being a very healthy thing for the NWSL. But you are going to compete against these monster brands. And what female soccer player is not going to want to stretch themselves and go to Europe in cities where soccer or football, as they say, is the priority? So do you want to play in a U.S. market where you don't get a lot of attention? You might not get a lot of press. Where do you want to consider going to play in Europe where, you know, in Janine Becky's case, she's playing in Manchester, England. There's more soccer conversation and talk over there every day. It's in front of you. There's no competition really with other sports. So would you consider going to play in England for a global brand in cities where every day it is a part of the culture? And the part of the culture is the part that also is a part of player development. So this is going to be a very interesting interview. And by the way, the Manchester Evening News covers the women's game over there. And it is on the rise. And I know for a fact, having been in Manchester in late November and early December of last year. So Janine Becky is going to address the two leagues, the appeal to play overseas. And it's the same thing with MLS guys. I remember there was a time we'd all get offended and, you know, we would feel really hurt because some guy stated his ambition that he wanted to play in Europe. That's always going to be there. Major League Soccer is a feeder league to Europe, just like everybody else around the world. There's no shame in that. Absolutely no shame in that. The product continues to get better. There's an influx of Argentines and South Americans. This is a very worldly league that we have. You're going to have a worldly team in Austin. You already do, with Rodney Redis and Cecilio Dominguez. So this is all healthy. We got to get a thicker skin and not be offended so easily, which I think sometimes we are. We have to get a little bit thicker skin, appreciate where we are and the amazing growth that the game at the professional level has had. Now, the NWSL's got challenges because these teams over there can come and they can come in a big way and they can offer some bigger contracts ultimately if that's what they want to do. And in talking to Janine Becky, she did mention to me now that these aren't just all loans now, that in fact, in her case, she's got a 2-year contract. There is a thing called security. And that's not an easy thing, certainly for female players to get at the professional level these days. So this is going to be a great interview with Janine Becky of Manchester City. Gianluca Busio is another to put in the category of rising U.S. players. Look, I know all the players overseas are getting the attention. The Weston McKennie on loan at Juventus, Gio Reyna at Dortmund, Christian Pulisic, Sergiño Dest now at Barcelona. They're getting a lot of the publicity because they are at these monster clubs. We've never had this sort of distribution amongst, monster soccer clubs in the world. And they're playing, which is the other thing. They're playing. It's a fantastic time for us as soccer fans in the U.S. I mean, we can turn the TV on the weekend, and we have all these choices to watch an American player in a variety of different leagues on a variety of different teams. Gianluca Busio is an interesting story, and he's an 18-year-old. This interview is pretty amazing. He has had interest from Europe, including Juventus. You're going to be interested to learn about his father and why he decided to leave North Carolina to go to the Midwest and join the Sporting Kansas City Academy. It's a great interview. It's an interview that's going to bring an amazing perspective from what is an incredibly grounded young man. I mean, the whole time I did this interview, I did not believe I was talking to an 18-year-old as he makes his way in professional soccer stateside. So absolutely wonderful thing there. Quick note here. Texas got a 7-0 win over Kansas State in their most recent game. 5 second-half goals in that one, 7 different goal scorers. Haley Berg, Emma Regan, Julia Grosso, those are the two Canadian internationals. Cameron Brooks, Lauren Oliver, Presley Eccles, the talented freshman, and Kaylee Smith. So they won in a big way. I think for those of us that know Big 12 women's soccer, you would have expected them to win that game and to win it pretty comfortably. That's not disrespecting Kansas State, but if you've followed the league over the years. They will be back in action. They go on the road to Iowa State in Ames, and again, they're playing a 9-game schedule. They've got Iowa State, then they go at Oklahoma State, then they'll play a big one against Baylor at Mike A. Meyer Stadium, and then at Texas Tech in Lubbock against Tom Stone and the Red Raiders. So great schedule for Angela Kelly, but it was simply a 9-game schedule, all Big 12 for a Big 12 title. So there you go. All right, so let's get into a couple of other things here. Did you see the goal last night from Eric Hurtado? My goodness, if you didn't, I put it up on Facebook Soccer Matters. You can go there. You can go to my Twitter account. You can find it a million places. It's an incredible volley. Speaking of Sporting Kansas City. Off the charts volley. It was a game winner to come from behind win over Nashville SC. They were down 1-0. A long diagonal ball from Amadou Dia. Hurtado's kind of pulling away. His footwork to prepare himself, his body shape, his timing, the precision, the way he puts his right foot through this. It is just an absolutely fantastic goal. And when you look at that goal, if that was a goal from one of the top leagues in the world, it'd be everywhere. I mean, it's getting a lot of run, but it's only Major League Soccer. But that's a goal that would have stood up in any league in the world from Eric Hurtado. Fantastic goal. There's some people talking about the Marco Van Basten volley from way back that we all remember. But check it out. Fantastic goal. If you have not seen it, you need to see it. It may end up being the goal of the year in Major League Soccer. I got off my couch at home when he scored it. That's how cool it was. All right. Sam, I've got some sound here from Rod. Is it ready yet? Still getting it ready? Okay. Let me know when it's ready. I'll continue on with some Major League Soccer talk here. Ben Olsen out at D.C., we all know that. We all know what a face he's been there. Absolute legend as a player, as a coach, played at UVA, went to Nottingham Forest, had that horrible injury. There isn't anybody who doesn't love this guy. The deep integrity that he carries, the desire, the passion that he plays the game with for whatever team he played for, and with which he, and when he coached. But he was at D.C. a long time. And when I watched the relaunch of this club, when they got into their stadium, when they signed Wayne Rooney, I said, okay, it's finally moving forward here. And then to put a team together that defended deep with Wayne Rooney, and I remember calling one of their games or watching one of them, their games in MLS and just saying, how could Wayne Rooney be enjoying this? I mean, this is American adventure. Does not look like a lot of fun on the field for him. Team that didn't have the ball a lot. He's the highest guy. He's checking back in midfield to get the ball. They're hoping he can turn and somebody's going to run in front of him like Luciano Acosta. And they never developed a plan to get Rooney the ball and get this team higher up the field and get him the ball in areas closer to an opponent's goal that could provide danger. So I was wondering just how could he be enjoying this? The soccer never changed. We have amazing personalities in this game, in this country, and Ben Olsen's one of them. There is no question. He's a remarkable story. But sometimes we have such a hard time separating our emotion for an individual from the importance of an overall club. And by the way, I'm not blaming Ben Olsen. I'm blaming those above him, the visionaries of the club. And you might even have to say the ownership. But someone higher up has to be accountable for letting it just continue into mediocrity and drive all the good work that was done over the early years into the ground. And then you wonder why people aren't coming to games? And I'm going to tell you this. If you're a deep defending team in MLS, you are not attack-oriented in MLS. Why in God's name would anybody want to buy a season ticket? Seriously, I like anybody, like good defending, no question. And I know it has to happen sometimes, and I know teams have to defend deep sometimes. Guy gets sent off, I don't know. But when you buy a season ticket, you know, you can get away with that with clubs with 100-year history in towns where there are fewer other professional sports options. So the way you play has to be your calling card. All right, let's go to this soundbite, Rodney Redis and Cecilio Dominguez of – oh, okay. Let's change gears here. South American World Cup qualifying. Brazil, Colombia, Uruguay, Argentina all winning their first match. Shame that we can't watch this. BN Sports is re-airing these after the fact. Brazil 5-0 over Bolivia. Firmino got a pair. Coutinho, Marquinhos, and an own goal. Uruguay a stoppage time winner over Chile from Maxi Gomez after Luis Suarez and Alexis Sanchez traded goals. Colombia 3-0 over Venezuela. Zapata, the game winner. Argentina 1-0 over Ecuador in a 13th-minute penalty. So you got more World Cup qualifying coming your way tomorrow. Bolivia, Argentina. Keep an eye on that one. That's probably in La Paz, I believe, and that is an absolute nightmare to play there. Ecuador and Uruguay, that'll have altitude issues. Venezuela, Paraguay, Peru, Brazil, Chile, and Colombia. Big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to work for you 24-7, nights and week. It's DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. Also, Lustav Vermouth. Now, get a little Spain in your life. Lustav Vermouth is fun, whether over ice with tonic water or club soda or my favorite, you pair it with your favorite gin and a gin and tonic. Then you add a little bit of a broken orange peel, a few drops of lime juice, and you're in business. Lustav Vermouth is refreshing. Rojo, caramel, and cola. Great in a Manhattan or Negroni. Rosé with a hint of vanilla or white with rosemary. In gin and tonics, fantastic. Ask for Lustau, Lustau Vermouth, at your local liquor store. RIP Eddie Van Halen. We're going to break with some Van Halen here. All right, I think we're going all Van Halen all night as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. And good to see Angela Kelly and the Longhorns getting the victory. 2-3 on the season now. I want to remind you about Lustav Vermouth. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustav Vermouth is fun, whether over ice. You might do it over tonic water, club soda. Pair it with your favorite gin and a gin and tonic. It's Lustav Vermouth. Ask for it at your local liquor store. And, of course, our presenting sponsor of this show and the show back in Houston, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They're bilingual. Any kind of accident you get in, car, boat, motorcycle, you name it, they'll represent you. They'll work 24-7 nights and weekends. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. It is, again, 512-865-6710, DaspitLawAustin.com. They're bilingual. John is a Chelsea fan, the head of the firm. So just letting you know that. Don't hold that against him because he is a big soccer fan and important to note that he gets this on the air. By the way, the soundbite I was going to play, we're having a little trouble getting that queued up because of the system. Cecilio Dominguez said, I think the chemistry we have inside and outside, we've played one game together. We feel really good. We are, we will be from the same team, both of us. So it's very interesting. They're talking about when they get to Austin, and Redis went on to talk about, and I'll paraphrase here, just that that they were getting to know each other, understanding each other, and game by game they're feeling more comfortable, and that they're looking forward to that relationship continuing to burgeon and continuing to go forward. Okay, John Daspit and DaspitLawAustin.com presents this next interview. This is the 18-year-old Gianluca Busio of Sporting Kansas City, who has had attention from top clubs in Europe, including Juventus. Gianluca, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
For having me.
Yeah, really appreciate you coming on. And I just wanted to start with, you know, growing up in North Carolina and maybe some of your early soccer influences, and where did they come from?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina. My family still lives there, and my dad is originally from Italy, so that's where, you know, pretty much that soccer background came from, is, you know, my whole life growing up with soccer, because that's, you know, how big it is in Italy. So, you know, every day we, you know, on Sundays we'd watch Serie A and, you know, support the Italian national team, and, you know, basically the whole household was soccer. My brother and sister all played. So, yeah, we were a big soccer family, so I was kind of born into it. And my idol, I guess I would say, is Andrea Pirlo, just because of my Italian roots. And, you know, I'd watch him on the weekends. So he's definitely one player that I still look up to and, you know, try to model my game after.
You know, I had a feeling you were going to say something about your father. And tell me about your dad, because how passionate was he? I mean, was he, did he coach you at all? Did he come to your games? Was he telling you how to play? Was he giving you tips?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's probably my biggest critic. Usually it's he'll tell me more bad than good, but, you know, that's kind of how dads are. So he's always the one to, you know, if I score a hat trick, he'll tell me, you know, about the one that I missed. So that's how it's been with me, and, you know, I've grown up like that. But, you know, it's helped me a lot more than, you know, than I can ever imagine. And, you know, I love him for it. But, yeah, he's been, you know, starting when I was young until I was, you know, 10 or 11 and started taking it serious. He was my coach and on every team. And, you know, yeah, he took me out to play for fun and practice with me. And, you know, we sat together and watched the game. So he's definitely a big part of, you know, where I am now and, you know, hopefully what I can become.
Excited tonight to have Gianluca Busio on the show. Who was your Serie A team, by the way?
Inter Milan.
Ah, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Tremendous history. They had a great game this weekend that they stole at the end, which was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah,
did you watch that game?
Yeah, I watched it. Very interesting.
So is that your league of choice? I mean, obviously it sounds like it's your league of choice because, you know, generally a lot of people go right to the Premier League. I just think the Serie A is remarkable in its own light. Bundesliga as well, La Liga, they all have their own qualities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously, like I said, I grew up watching the Serie A, so I kind of am still stuck on that. But obviously, you know, I watch all the Premier League games and, you know, any games that come on. And, you know, if I, you know some of the guys playing or, you know, anything like that. But I try to watch all soccer and, you know, I love soccer. So I, you know, enjoy watching it whenever it is and, you know, whatever game's on this. On the day, then I'll try to watch it. So Serie A is definitely my first choice.
So you had interest, and I really love the way you've answered questions about the interest that you have gotten from Europe, including Juventus of Italy, place where Weston McKennie is now. Obviously,
yeah,
you know that.
Yeah.
You've kept this all in real perspective, and I'm going to think that has to do a lot with your parents and Peter Vermees and just the way you've been brought up in the game overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, it's been like I said, it's been pretty cool. With obviously, you can see the rumors, and you know, it's hard to miss right now. But it's pretty cool, especially to get some interest from clubs you've grown up watching. And I've always said it's been a dream of mine to play in Europe, especially. But also, I've been happy at Sporting my whole life, and they've really developed me. So I'm happy where I'm at. I try to just focus on that right now. But, it's been a big part with my parents and Peter especially, just helping me stay humble and, keeping me grounded, especially because they all want the best for me and they want to continue to develop me to the best of my ability. And, keeping me grounded is a big part of that. It's easy for a young guy who has some interest in them overseas. It's easy to get a big head and not stay humble. But they've definitely kept me grounded and I'm going to need them for, whatever happens next.
Gianluca, how does the move occur from Greensboro, North Carolina, in that beautiful state, to Sporting Kansas City?
I think when I was around 13 or 14 maybe, that's when the Greensboro got a academy team. And the academy was pretty big at the time. It was like its first year when I joined. And that's when, we had big showcases. So that's where every team in the league goes to pretty much either Florida or somewhere like that, and you play against other teams that you wouldn't play because they aren't near you. So I played 3 games, and Sporting KC sent their scouts out to watch me, and the scout called me for me and my parents to have a dinner with them, and it ended up with me visiting there, then ended up going there at 14. So it was a big part of their just system and how they scout players and how they try to find players who are from smaller markets like North Carolina and move them to MLS team and build you with a pathway to the pros.
So how does that work? And do your parents move there with you, or do you get homestayed with a family? How did that all work?
No, my families can't move with you, but my parents and family all stayed in Greensboro, so I have to stay with a host family for about 3 years. I just moved out, actually. I'm living with some teammates now, so that was pretty big. But I grew up, when I was in the academy, I was all with the host family, and they treated me right, and basically my second family now.
Wow, that's incredible. We're talking to Gianluca Busio. There had to be homesick. There had to be real challenges and disappointment along the way as well, right?
Like the first, I would say, 3 or 4 months were, extremely difficult. I told my mom that I wanted to leave, the third month in. I was, 14. It was my first year of high school, new school, new family, new everything pretty much, new soccer. And, obviously the first couple months you aren't going to go into a team and, start right away. You have to, work for your respect, and that's what I was doing. And then school was always difficult for me, especially in a new state. So, I thought it was easier just to go back home and play with my, family with me in Greensboro. But my mom talked me out of it, and, eventually I stayed, and things got better. I started playing more and made some friends. And, obviously it's been a really good thing that I didn't go back home.
He's Gianluca Busio. He was the second youngest player to ever sign with Major League Soccer, agreeing to a homegrown deal with Sporting Kansas City. So Peter Vermees has obviously been a big part of your career. Talk to me about him and your relationship with him, because he's a guy that I played against back in the dark ages, and he was a very intense competitor, still is an intense guy. Obviously, we can see through TV broadcasts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's definitely been intense, but we have a great relationship. He's been my first professional coach, and he wants what's best for me. And yes, he's intense, but I think it's good from a coach. He wants that, to where you can have a good relationship for him, but he also pushes you, and that's what he's done for me. Within these 3 years I've been at the club, he's done tremendous work with me, and I'll always, you know, trust in him for that and respect his decisions. And yeah, I'm just, you know, it's a really good relationship, and he knows, you know, what to do with things that I don't know. So he looks at the bigger picture, and he always has a plan for, you know, not only younger guys, but everybody. And, you know, he has his way, and it's worked out, and it's been working out for me. So yeah, it's good. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for him.
Gianluca Busio joining us, only 18 years of age, just thriving in Major League Soccer, just a wonderful talent, and even more respect for just the way you're handling this interview, because I don't think most 18-year-olds would be this good in interviews. But I want to just ask you about when Peter Vermees asked you to play the number six position, I thought it was a very interesting thing he said to you, because, you know, you've in your mind, you're an attacking player. And he says to you, you know, basically play the six or the pivot, whatever you want to call it, the way you want to play it. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, obviously it means a lot. Obviously he's not telling me to, you know, go to the six and play how a six would. He's giving me that freedom and that trust in me to kind of add my own style to the six. And obviously he knows that, you know, I want to play attacking and I want to play forward. And I think we both know that, but, the team needed a six at the time. And, you know, I think I have the ability to play that, position. And, I think it's shown well, but, yeah, so I think that it just gave me a lot of trust in him, and he trusted me. And it gave me more confidence to, you know, go back there and know that he's trusting me there, and he wants me to do it my own way and not, you know, stick to the, you know, the basic six and stick to, you know, how the position is played, you know, play it how I want to play it. And, yeah, obviously there's still a lot I can work on, but I think it's been pretty good. It's a good learning experience for me. And like I said, I just, you know, want to be on the field at all times. So if that's playing six or the 10, doesn't matter. If I'm on the field, that's a plus for me.
Well, Gianluca has started 8 games this year, has appeared in 12. Last year, you played close to 1,000 minutes. It looks like you're going to tip that over this year. The one thing I'm really, really impressed with you, technically, obviously, I think you have it all, but you have a great range of passing. Your ability to switch the point of attack and do it over 40, 50, 60 yards, is, to me, very impressive. How did that skill get honed?
I guess I'll give credit to my brother in that one and my family. I think me and my brother always played the same position, and obviously we love scoring goals, but, you know, one thing that really got us, you know, that we just really enjoyed and was satisfying for us to watch was, you know, the passes that people hit. You know, it's really, I just enjoy, you know, hitting a 50-yard ball driven straight to the guy's feet. It just, you know, it just gives me confidence, and I think I really trained on that a lot, especially as a kid growing up, because, you know, growing up I never had a soccer field to play on, really. There weren't many public soccer fields, and I didn't really have a goal in my backyard or anything, so I basically just ended up, me and my brother, finding a, you know, open area of grass and just having a ball and hitting it to each other from, you know, 20 yards out, 50 yards out, and, you know, seeing the different kind of techniques we can do. And, you know, I watched millions of videos on, you know, how to hit outside the foot passes, driven passes, you know, chip balls, and I take pride in that, and I just enjoy hitting balls straight and playing teammates in good positions, and it's just one thing that I really take pride in my game.
Well, listen, this has been a wonderful interview, and I really appreciate you coming on and doing it. And, you know, Rob Thompson told me, he goes, you're gonna love Gianluca Busio after this interview, and he was right. You delivered a big one, Gianluca. Listen, thank you for coming on. Best of luck in your future. You're wonderfully talented. You're also very humble and very well-grounded, at least through this interview, and I think that's a phenomenal quality to have. So thanks for coming on the program.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll see you at Juventus one day.
All right, I'll see you.
How impressive was that young man? You know, covering Major League Soccer on television for 25 years, I've always loved these stories of young players like that, because, look, I was one. We all were once. Just to see how grounded and mature and then just talking about how he developed his skills with his brother and how he got there at 14. Things weren't working out, and all of a sudden he's got friends. Things get better. Phenomenal interview. A great player to keep tracking in the future. And, you know, Austin FC is going to have some young players coming through in the future that you as a city are going to be very, very proud of. And they're going to be running out of that tunnel in that beautiful stadium one day. That's a good thing to kind of plant in your mind when you look way out. Big thank you again to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. Don't forget, they are bilingual. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, 512-865-6710. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. 512-865-6710. For all of you who tune into the show and also who get it on the podcast at hornfm.com, thank you very much for that, because it's important that we grow this game in the media as well. We got a long way to go with that. Tomorrow, Mexico, Algeria, 2 Central Time. When we come back, Janine Becky is up next. This is an interview you will not want to miss. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters as we roll on here tonight. Again, the show always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to John and his firm for getting soccer talk on the radio. Now a great visit. We go across the Atlantic here tonight to Manchester, England. Manchester City's Janine Becky. Now, you might know that she played at Texas Tech, Sky Blue, Houston, and the NWSL. Now a player for Manchester City, and Janine joins us now. Janine, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thanks so much for having me. I remember back when I was in Houston and we were on the show, so it's come full circle.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I couldn't make it over to Manchester, but we'll have to just do it via conference here. So excited to talk to you about City. Let's just first off start about a little bit about just your general thoughts on where the sport, the women's game is in England and with this growth of the women's game.
I think it's easy to say that even in the 2 years, it's my third year that I've been here, the game has come so far just here in England. And you could say that for, you know, definitely in the US and Canada and in a lot of other places in Europe. But I think with the Lionesses doing so well at the 2019 World Cup, it really amped up the watch hours that people were putting into to women's football and just the commitment by brands. Obviously, Barclays bought the league last year, which is fantastic. It's a huge sponsor for us. So we've really gone up the ranks in terms of popularity over here in England over the last 2 years. And hoping that it continues to be on the rise.
All right. Through your lens, I mean, you've done it all. The youth game, the college game, the NWSL. You've played internationally, won a bronze medal at the Olympics. Now you're over in England, a part of this growth of this new professional league with all these massive brands like Manchester City. Looking through your lens, what was the appeal now to go over to England?
I think originally my motivation was, where can I put myself in the best position to be at the top of my game come the World Cup last summer? So for me, that was my main motivation. I also wanted to experience playing overseas while I was still in my younger years and my younger career. So I'm 26 now. I was just 23 when I moved over here, turning 24. So that was really exciting for me to make that move when I was still young and didn't really have any roots down in the US a lot. So I think the attraction was, this is going to be a place where I'm going to get better in a short amount of time, because it's a challenging environment with top, top international players from all across the world. And that's what I want to be. That's where I want to be to perform at the World Cup. So that was my initial motivation, and I just have loved every second since I've been here. I absolutely got what I was looking for when I came here, and feel like I was at the top of my game going into 2019 that summer, which was, it's crazy that it's just last summer because it feels so long ago. But even since then, I've just taken massive strides in my game, and I can just see the difference that being here has made.
What about just the simple notion of, you know, when we talk about the men's game, you know, guys in Major League Soccer, they want to go, you know, Europe may be the pinnacle, right? It could be England. It could be the Premier League. Whatever it is, it could be a change of environment, culture. What are some of the other factors? Is it Is it facilities? Is it brand recognition? Is it the attention the game may get in Manchester? To me, it looks like you get tremendous coverage in the Manchester Evening News.
Yeah, and the media coverage has, like the game, really grown over the last couple of years. I would say probably noticeably the last 5-6 years, maybe even decade. It's really significantly inclined. And when you talk about, you know, what are the other motivations, I believe that by far we are at least top three in the world in facilities. And the commitment that the club has made financially into the women's team to bring big time players all together. So if you look at the roster that we have this season, we've got big time world players on our team, top internationals. I mean, that's not cheap to bring all of those players together. So the financial investment that the club has made a massive difference. And that's what you have to do to win the trophies that we want to win. I think the difference being in England from a cultural perspective is that football is life here. It's what people, you know, they're born a City fan, they die a City fan, or, you know, whatever other team you support. And you really feel that in just living in the culture. And it's been really fun to experience that as someone who's played my whole life and been incredibly interested in the Premier League since I started watching the game. So to now, you know, share a facility with these men's players that you ever only watch and you can dream of, you know, being like them one day. And just being held to that standard has been really, really cool. And I think there's a long way to go, don't get me wrong. But being here has really opened my eyes to the potential of women's football, especially in the last couple of years.
Talking to Janine Becky of Manchester City. So does that aid in player development? I would have to think so, that being in that culture, being in that environment, soccer all the time, as opposed to the U.S. where, you know, we're a part of a giant sports landscape with other traditional sports. I would have to say, does that, or let me ask you, does that aid in player development?
I think so. I think when you look at the system, the youth system in the U.S. compared to the youth system in England, and I think both have their pros and cons. I absolutely love growing up in a country where sports in general are so highly valued. You know, I played all kinds of sports growing up. I was definitely not soccer specific, not even in high school. So, but here, you know, I have players on my team who are 21 years old and have been professionals for 4 years. So it's wild that, you know, they kind of grow up playing for their local team. And then, you know, at 14, 15, you're starting to look at a club that you potentially want to go professional with. And that's just so different than the U.S. And I think there's massive benefits to that. You know, those players are playing at the highest level of the game so, so young, and may find their peak in their game at a much younger age than maybe someone like me who went through the college system, which was incredibly important for my development. And then, you know, I'm 26 and I have those teammates that are 21 and, you know, we're playing at the same level. So it's definitely personal. But I do think being in this culture develops players at a faster rate at a younger age, because it just starts a little bit earlier. The level is higher at a younger age.
Just curious, is there much crossover with the men's team? In other words, do they take interest in watching your games like you do with theirs potentially?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of crossover. Obviously, they have an incredibly busy season. And this, because of the craziness that's going on in the world right now, we've become quite busy as well. So we're on separate sides of the building. That's just the way that it's set up. But, you know, there's appearances that some of the girls get to do with the men's players. And anytime I've come into contact with one of them, they're super friendly, very interested in what's going on. A few of them popped out to watch us train in preseason just from a distance. So it's really cool to see them around, and also to kind of have that recognition that we're all doing the same thing, and we're all wearing blue. We're all for the same club. So I think there's a lot of camaraderie being at City with staff, players, men's team, women's team, academy. That's really special and quite unique to City.
NBC has been covering your games. I watched the game this weekend. I mean, it's pretty incredible coverage. And it's over here in the U.S. It's kind of like coming in the NWSL's backyard here. So I'm thinking that competition is a good thing. For you to know that your games are on in the United States and your family can watch, and this is a part of the plan to expose people to the Women's League in England, I got to think this is pretty uplifting.
It's fantastic. And actually, although time change can be very frustrating because of trying to talk to family, it's obviously early in the morning. One of my favorite things was to be able to get up and watch the Premier League early in the morning. And now the reality is that women's soccer fans get to wake up early in the morning and watch our games. And I think it's just a testament to the commitment that I spoke about earlier of the media to cover our games and the talent that our league is seeing. And obviously with the times being how they are and the NWSL just wrapping up their fall series, we're one of the most attractive leagues to be watching right now. We've got top internationals all over the league. This will be the most competitive that the WSL has ever been. And obviously with the transfer of a lot of the American players over here, there's more interest from the U.S. to watch these games, which has benefited me fantastically because I have family and friends that are always wondering how they can watch our games. And the FA launched the FA Player last season, which was fantastic because all the games were streamed live, but it's different than having a TV broadcast. And obviously NBC does such a great job with their broadcasts, and we're all really excited to hear that was going to be happening.
She's Janine Becky. She played at Texas Tech under Tom Stone. 2016 Olympics in Rio, had 3 goals for Canada. They won a bronze medal, historic moment for Canada. COVID challenges. Tell me a little bit about how you guys have navigated that, or you ladies have navigated that.
Yeah, well, first off, I have to say the club and the league and the Premier League and everyone has done a fantastic job managing the situation and putting the safety protocols in place to continue to let us play. I think that it's, at this point, you know, it's just exciting that we're continuing to play games. And obviously there's the, we wish this and we wish that, and it's been really hard to play without fans. But yeah, I think when it came on, we were kind of starting the last third of our season back in March. And I remember we were about to play the FA Cup quarterfinal game against Leicester. And they said, you have to shut the facility down for a week. And now I laugh at that because I'm like, who thought that this was going to be gone in a week, or that the information was going to change. But so actually the club ended up allowing me to go back home and fly back to the States. So I actually spent about 3.5 months in Colorado with my mom, which was great. A lot of family time there, but we came back and obviously the season didn't continue, which was disappointing, but totally understandable. And yeah, we've been in a really strict bubble, quite restricted. Everyone is in terms of going out, wearing masks. We're quite careful to not be eating in restaurants and really limit our exposure to other people, which is difficult, but also it's worth it to be able to continue to play. And knock on wood, we've been really lucky with our club. They've done an incredible job managing and put in the financial resources for us to be tested weekly, which has been really important, and just gives us a sense of a peace about that, knowing that we're in an environment that's COVID-free and we want to continue that. So keep listening to the government guidelines, but we're getting on.
So the differences now in the NWSL from a tactical and maybe an athletic standpoint to playing in England now, what are they, and what is more maybe appealing to you playing in England than the NWSL and vice versa?
Yeah, I've answered this question so many times, and every time the question comes up, I'm like, how do I answer this in the best way? With my experience in the NWSL, obviously now I've been away from the league for a few years, and I follow it very closely. I obviously have tons of friends and former teammates that are still there, and have an incredible amount of respect for what the NWSL is doing, and have an incredible amount of respect for the way that the game is played there. And I think naturally, when you speak about athleticism and things like that, it is naturally a more transitional game. There's a lot more, I think if you looked at the data, there'd probably be more distance covered, more high-speed running. And I don't really know what the reason is for that, other than that is kind of the American model. And in my opinion, it's shifting to a more tactical possession-based game, which was what my attraction was to come here. Especially at a club like City, where you watch Pep's team bounce the ball around, and they're very, very pretty team to watch. But then they get the job done. They're ruthless. And I think that's definitely how the women's team works as well, and how it's been since I've been here. But we are kind of seeing now that more players are coming between leagues, and we're seeing players from all over the world play in both leagues, it's evening out. And the game is more similar than ever before. The game here is more athletic and demanding than it ever has been. And that's exciting, because that's what I brought here when I came. And then what they've given me is a better tactical sense, higher standards technically, to be good on the ball, to be sharp. So I think that there's so many benefits to both leagues, and I've seen both of those benefits and been really lucky to play in both leagues. And I'm interested to go back to the NWSL at some point and experience the difference.
Will this, in a healthy way, raise the bar for the NWSL? Because, look, we've seen different Tobin Heath. You mentioned Kristen Press. You're kind of a harbinger getting over there before some of these other players. Rose Lavelle's on your team, Sam Mewis. Is this going to raise the bar for the NWSL? And in the end, is this going to be better for everybody?
Absolutely. I think it's great for the WSL to have these players come over. I mean, who's going to complain about having a world champion on their team? I don't think very many people. So Sam and Rose have come into our environment and definitely pushed the standard and raised the level, because they're fantastic players. And I think that obviously with the climate of the world right now, we're lucky that we're playing a pretty normal season. So obviously that was a big attraction for those players, but also speaking to them one-on-one, the attraction was the game. And the difference and the challenges that they'll face having never played anywhere but at home. And I think that absolutely it'll be better for everyone. And I think that their influence of playing in the NWSL has an effect on players here, potentially wanting to go to the NWSL and experience that, which is great. Obviously, selfishly, I want more international players in the NWSL to continue to raise the bar. But we'll see it. And I think we're definitely seeing the benefit of having players come overseas.
Security too. I mean, you've signed a long-term contract. Now, I know you and I had spoke before we did the interview about some people are coming on loan and others are signing longer-term deals. I mean, security is not something that the women's player has always had. This has got to be something that's a very, very appealing.
Absolutely, and especially in these times. I mean, everyone's trying to find that security in jobs, in anything. So I think, yeah, it's been a long time coming for women's soccer to have a really stable environment for players to depend on. And I think that it's a testament to the leagues continuing to put money into the game and signing, you know, more than 1 and 2 year deals. You know, we're seeing 3, 4, and 5 year deals some places, which is so typical in the men's game, but not very typical in the women's game. And it's so important that we go there so that we don't see so much change all the time, so that there is some stability and some foundation to having competitive leagues. Because like I said before, this will be the most competitive the WSL has ever been. And you don't want that to just be for a year. So these teams are making the investment, and I think that's really important.
Talking to Janine Becky, we're going to wrap it up here with two quick ones. Janine plays for Manchester City in England. All right. Are you used to calling it football over soccer now?
Yes. People are nice about it. I got made fun of when I first came here saying soccer. I think it just sounds so weird to them. And obviously in the States, when you say football, people assume you're saying American football. So I go back and forth kind of depending on who I talk to, but I definitely feel more comfortable saying football than ever before.
Look up soccer. You might be surprised of its origins. Just that's all I'll tell you.
I didn't do that. That's a good.
Look up the word soccer and its origins. And then the last one. England's a tea country, but you tell me you drink coffee. Can they make a good cup over there? Because I'm just curious.
There is fantastic coffee where I am, but I have started to be a tea drinker. I never saw what it was about English tea, but I definitely have started to drink a few cups. So. I'm broadening my horizons, is what I like to say.
Well, Janine, thank you so much. I very much appreciate this. A very enlightening interview. I think people are obviously have enjoyed this and We appreciate you coming on. Best of luck with Manchester City.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, that's Janine Becky, Manchester City. That's how we wrap it up here tonight. A big thank you to Sam Pica, Victor Ariza, and all, and also John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. We appreciate them bringing the game of soccer on the air and also interviews like that with Janine Becky. Until next Monday at 7 o'clock Central Time, I'm Glenn Davis.